Hey, Pastor John Aiken here. Thank you so much for tuning in to the Faith Center podcast. We hope today's teaching will awaken and equip you to live out your God-given purpose. Enjoy. Guys, I'm excited about today. I've got a number of things that I want to share with you, but I got to make sure you're ready. Because if you're not ready, it's going to be like kind of casting pearls, possibly before swine. So I don't know if y'all know that scripture, but I want you to be ready because God's been really speaking some things to me. I want you to first open your Bible to Isaiah chapter 11. And I want you to, many of you look on your phone. It's totally cool to look on your phone to see the Bible. Amazing. There's distractions though there. There's possible distractions if you're on your phone. And I'm not saying you can't have your phone and don't misunderstand me because I look at the Bible on my phone too and study with different apps and different things like that. But man, I'm gonna tell you, there's something about having a physical Bible. There's something about it. So if you've not brought a Bible with you, see if you can steal your neighbor's. If you can steal your neighbor's Bible, they're not a real Christian. I want you to maybe, if you don't have a Bible, go get a Bible. Maybe I'm getting older. You know, when you get older, you sometimes tell the same stories over and over again. I remember when I bought my very first Bible, I was so excited when I bought my first Bible. I couldn't believe, like, I thought it was illegal, like, to sell Bibles. So I couldn't believe that there was actually Bibles in a store that you could go buy. Once I was like, and I didn't like to read. I couldn't spell read, much less do it. I didn't like reading. I wasn't a book kind of guy. I was a lunch and recess kind of guy. I didn't like reading. I didn't like, I don't even think I like picture books. I didn't like any of that kind of stuff. But when I opened my heart to God and he got a hold of me, I'm telling you, he made the word come alive to me. I know a lot of people who are a whole lot more educated than me in the word of God and have degrees, more degrees than a thermometer. But when they read the word, they have an intellectual connection with history and with different things. But it's almost like they don't have a passionate heart connection with Jesus. And when we come to the word, we're actually not just coming to the word. We're coming to the word. We're not coming to just words written on a page. We're coming to the living word of God. And his name is Jesus. And I remember when I bought my very first Bible, I went home and just like I was at Christmas when I'd get a toy, I'd just spend all day with that, my favorite toy, whatever I got for Christmas. I spent all day just in my Bible, just reading. And I didn't know what the difference of this or that, but I just love being with it. And I remember, I don't know if some of y'all have this weird habit to where you probably need counseling, but to where you just rub your Bible. Anybody here rub your Bible? It may find yourself doing it. Maybe you don't even know you're doing it. Maybe it's just me. But I'm reading. I just rub my Bible. I just love it. And so I want you to bring the word. Today we're going to look through a handful of scriptures. And there's something about being in the word. Because, guys, I remember just sitting here right now, looking at the word right now. I remember the night I was at the Bible study. And the lady came in and she was like, everybody has to have a Bible. And I remember standing at the door telling her, you know, trying to be the man of my house, standing up and saying, you know, I gotta, you know, protect against these Christians, guard against these weird Christians, because Christians are weird. And all they want is your money. So I told her, she had two Walmart bags filled with Bibles, and she came in, everybody gets a Bible. And I was like, okay, number one, this is my house, and you can't tell me. This is what I said. I remember it. You can't tell me that what's in that book, written by a bunch of old monks on some island somewhere, has anything to do with my life today. And I'm not giving you any money. And she just like cocked her head. You know, like when a dog hears a noise and they don't know what's happening. You know, she cocked her head a little bit, like, what? And she just came on in. Passed out Bibles, and that night as we opened up the Word, I don't remember exactly what verse it was, but the Word came open, and she started reading aloud, and I was reading along, and I'm telling you, this amazing, like, it just, the presence of God just, it shocked me. I didn't, it was amazing what happened, and and words came off the page. And I was just like, nobody told me the Bible was like this. And so I'm looking at other people's Bible thinking it's happening to them, and they're like half asleep. And I've just never been able to understand how, because of that experience and many experiences like that, even being someone in all seriousness who didn't like reading, couldn't read, didn't do well in school, but yet I come to the Word of God, and and it's part of my gifting that He's given me. I realize that, but I just don't understand how people don't love the Word of God. I just don't understand. You know, I jokingly have said this before. I used to do crack, but now I do the Bible. I don't understand, so I just want to, want to pray. This past week, I did I think it was a 10 at 10, and I'm trying to, all the things that are on my heart for Sunday that I don't have time to get out, I want to get out in other ways. So that's why every Thursday night, well, for the next few Thursday nights at 7 p.m., we're going to be teaching and really having a time to just sit down at the lampstand and just have a conversation and speak some practical things to you on Thursday night. Did anybody happen to see that last one this week? Is anybody watching? Okay, 4 or 5. Awesome. Thank you. I hope that really helps you because it's just time with the Word of God. Time with Him. And one of the scriptures I had shared is Psalm 119. It talks about the unfolding of your word. The unfolding of the Word of God. The unfolding of your word brings light. The unfolding of your word brings light. And it makes wise the simple. So if you're struggling in darkness and you're struggling and you're stuck and you're in a cycle that you cannot get out of and you feel yourself in darkness, the unfolding of His Word brings light. It brings light. And so I just hope, among a number of things, I hope and just want to pray into this, that the Word of God would become so meaningful to you that it would change the rest of your life like it changed mine. Church didn't change me. Church did not change me. The Word of God did. So I just want to pray over you. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray over every family, every family here and every household here and every household watching at home, that Your Word would come alive in their eyes. Open their eyes. Open their heart. Remove the scale. Remove the stone. In Jesus' name, let Your presence begin to flow. Let Your presence begin to just impact every heart. Open our eyes, God, and may the unfolding of Your Word bring light. May it make wise the simple, and may it change not only the direction, but may it change the destiny of that whole household in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Ah, just love it. So Isaiah chapter 11, we've been talking about the lampstand. This is our Christmas series. And as we talk about the lampstand is all about the light. And God is light. God is the light. And the lampstand, we read last week, is about the churches. That in Revelation 2, you can just go back and watch last week, it talked about the lampstand, and Christ is the one who stands in the midst of the lampstand. The lampstand is the churches. The lampstand is not Hanukkah. That's a whole nother thing. And I explained that in the first teaching. But the reality of the lampstand, Jesus wrote to the church and said, repent, because if you don't repent, I'm going to come remove the lampstand. And man, there's just something about that. It's like, it makes me value what the lampstand is and what it represents, because here's the reality. We as the church, we are the lampstand. And these candles that we're about to light and teach, he's the light of the world, and he lights in us. He shines through us. So we are the carriers of the light. We're not the producers of the light. We have no light. But we are carriers of this light, and what an awesome responsibility to be a lampstand, and that those who sit in darkness will see a great light through my life. They'll see the greatness of Christ's light through my life. I was tired of my life being an example and a confirmation and evidence of darkness and how darkness would breed more darkness and darkness would confirm darkness and the blind would lead the blind and they both fall in the ditch. I was tired of finding camaraderie and a false sense of relationship and a false sense of unity in misery or unity in some false distorted thing of darkness. And we just pull each other lower. Like if you're having a bad day, come talk to me. I'll help you have a worse one. Tired of those things and complaining and all the different stuff that goes along with and it just pulls people down. But he's called, he is the light of the world and the unfolding of his word brings light. And so I just, in just believing and sensing that in numerous ways that God is just saying light be. In those places that are darkness and void and formless, like in Genesis 1, he's declaring light be so that we become a people who are in the middle of the darkness, we have light. And that light will begin to ignite other light and create other light. And pretty soon the region is filled with the light of the glorious gospel of Christ. And our life in Christ, walking in the light as he is in the light, becomes evidence and a testimony of anyone who's in darkness and you feel like you cannot get out. You can, because I'm out. And I'm here, and you don't have to be there if you don't want to. If you want to, that's up to you. I didn't want to anymore. And if you don't want to, you don't have to. You can get out if you want to, because he is your deliverer, and the light has come. The light has come, and so we come to his word and having this expectation of the light to dawn. And so I told you how in Isaiah chapter 11, Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2. Just look at this real quick. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. Now, when you read this, I want you to understand the 1-2 skip a few, how you connect the dots. We always read the Old Testament with New Testament perspective. Because Jesus didn't come to bring, and what many people think, he didn't come to bring something new. He came to reveal the original intention of the old. He came to fulfill the old covenant. So the new covenant is simply the fulfillment of the old covenant. So when we read the old covenant, we're reading it with New Testament perspective. And when we read it with New Testament perspective, everything, Christ fulfills everything. He is the fulfillment of the law. He's the fulfillment of everything. He's the fulfillment of righteousness, peace, and joy. He is the fulfillment of everything. And that's why your Bible says that that all the promises of God are yes, or find their yes and amen in Christ. He's the yes. So it was fulfilled in Christ. And then you and I step into Christ and Christ steps into us. So everything that is fulfilled and true of Christ is now true of anyone who's in Christ. So when I read the Spirit of the Lord God shall rest upon him, and I know it's talking about Jesus and I'm in Jesus, guess who else is talking about? Me. When I get a greater revelation of who Jesus Christ is, I now have gotten a greater revelation of who I am in Christ. So when I read that, I should have expectation of faith. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. It's on Christ. I know it's talking about Christ prophetically. And that means the fulfillment of Christ is talking about me. So I need to read it as if this is God saying, the Spirit that rests on my Son is now resting in you. And so now it's like, well, man, I need to read this. I need to understand this. So to me, the Lord years ago spoke this to me, that this is the lampstand. Look at it. The Spirit of the Lord is the centerpiece, the center branch. All the other branches come off of this center branch. So the Spirit of the Lord is the one we talked about last week. The next two is the Spirit of wisdom and understanding. That's the next two right here, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding. And then you see the counsel and might, the Spirit of the counsel and might. And then it's the Spirit of the knowledge, which I believe is the knowledge of God, and the fear of the Lord. So I believe this is what makes up the reality of the Spirit of God. And the book of Revelation talks about the seven spirits of God. And was like, and that freaks people out. What are you talking about, the seven spirits of God? He's one spirit. Yes, he's one spirit. But the Bible teaches that the seven spirits of God, these are the seven characteristics or the seven qualities, however you want to say it, of the Holy Spirit. And it's real cool. When you look at John chapter 14, 15, 16, you know, it says the Holy Spirit is our guide, our teacher, our comforter. Those things line up almost perfectly. Not quite, but almost perfectly with these seven realities. Just really cool. So I need a kid to come like this. Somebody who didn't like last week. Somebody who didn't. I need a kid who's okay. Any kid in here who wants to? Okay, you come. You can. Did you like last week or you like last week? Okay. So I need one more. I got three candles. Okay, come on. Okay, listen to me. I do not want this church to burn down. Fire. When you don't have an adult around, is no bueno, no good. Okay? So do you know how to use this? You just got to push. That freaks me out that you know how to use this. Okay? Okay. So light the middle one. Okay, let me see if I know how to use it. Like, pull this down. Don't push it. Pull that down this way. Then do it. I love your face. You're so intent. I'm going to do it. There you go. Oh, all right. Very good. Okay? Now, just like scissors, we hand it this way. Okay? You can go sit down. Okay? You light whichever one on the side that you want to light. Yeah, pull that down and then click it. Yeah, hold that and then click it. There you go. Keep doing it. It's childproof. That's right. It's really good. Here, watch this. Okay, you hold that button down. Okay, hold that down. Now pull that trigger. Oh, almost. One more time. Hold that button down. One more. Do it again. Pull it again. Oh, light B in Jesus' name. That's a great idea. So watch, children. I want to teach you how the Lord lights the other candles. This is how. So here, once we have the Lord, we don't need man's stuff anymore. We have the Lord. So we have the Spirit of the Lord. So use this. The Spirit of the Lord releases the light of the other candles. Very good. Let's not be an overachiever. That's okay. Thank you. Good job. Good job, okay? Now you do this last one. Very cool. I love how the kids' eyes, what they look like when they're looking at fire. And I pray that they have that same look when they look at the Word of God. I just pray that'd be so cool. All right, praise the Lord. So the two things that we're talking about today, this is the first one's the Spirit of the Lord. The next two is wisdom and understanding. Wisdom and understanding. If we're going to be, if the light of Christ, the light of heaven's light is going to shine in us, then we're going to have to make room to have the Spirit of the Lord, but he's Lord of our life. He's not just Savior, he's Lord. He's Lord. He's more than my boss. He's not a president. I can't vote him in. I can't impeach him. Can't do it. He's Lord. He's Lord of my life. And we as a group of believers have to understand his lordship. He's Lord, and once he's Lord, then that answers so many other questions down the road. But because sometimes we want to be, he's my friend, which is true, but he's Lord first. So if he's your friend, he might not be your Lord. And so he's got to be Lord. So that's the attitude. You're Lord. Lord, I worship you as Lord. And if everything seems to change, that doesn't change your Lord. And out of your lordship overflows your wisdom and your understanding. The wisdom and understanding that you will see through Scripture that work hand in hand. Now, I'm not talking about like you see in the Old Testament where you see a bunch of kings, and many times it's they do what's right in their own eyes, or what was they were wise in their own eyes, or wise in their own understanding, filled with pride and arrogance, and I know better, and what's before me, all the kings who are before me were wrong and stuff. So now I'm coming into my kingdom, coming into my time of ruling and reigning. And what it says of these kings is they did what was right in their own eyes. They were wise in their own eyes, not so wise in everybody else's eyes, and not wise at all in the Lord's eyes. So I'm not talking about a false sense of wisdom that is distorted by darkness. I'm talking about the wisdom of God. I'm talking about the wisdom of the Lord being right in his eyes. You know, one of the coolest definitions of faith, I love this definition of faith. Faith is my willingness to see things from God's perspective. Faith is my willingness to see me, him, and you from his perspective. It's that wisdom of being wise from his sight, from his perspective. Because my perspective is my truth. Your perspective is your truth. But his perspective is truth. So the whole thing about walking in wisdom and understanding is actually walking with this balance of wisdom and understanding. See, wisdom and understanding is, I don't have time to break down, and even though we're going to see this, as a matter of fact, look in your Bibles in Proverbs chapter 1 is the next scripture we're going to go to. Wisdom and understanding. Wisdom is, understanding is knowing what to do. Like understanding, you first understand how something operates, how something functions, and it leads you to an understanding, a discernment. Understanding is discernment. Understanding is knowing, I understand what to do. Wisdom is actually the skill set to do it. Wisdom always involves action. Wisdom, listen to me, wisdom always involves action. Understanding does not involve action. You can understand something and not participate with it. I understand some of y'all put cheese on hamburgers. I don't participate with that. Yeah, good because it comes a cheeseburger, which means in my nasty. Nobody, I mean, I just hate cheese. I hate cheese, unless it's on Cheetos, Doritos, or pizza. I know I got issues, but that's just how I roll. And so the reality is I understand something, but just because I understand something doesn't mean I obey it or I participate in it. And that's a great part of the church's problem, especially in America, is just because we think we intellectually understand some things, we think like we got it. We don't have it until we actually do it. See, wisdom always involves action, even if the action is, no, I will not participate with cheese. Because my no is taking action to stay away from your cheese. So wisdom is action, whether it's to participate or no, thank you, I'm good. So wisdom always involves action. So think about this, the wisdom of the Lord and the understanding of the Lord. And I just want to look at scriptures and let the Bible speak for itself today. So Proverbs chapter 1. Let's look at a few scriptures here. Proverbs is such an amazing book. Proverbs chapter 1. I hope you have it. If you have Proverbs chapter 1, say got it. Just read with me. Proverbs 1. We'll read like maybe 1 through verse 5. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. So notice, even before we get through this, notice who's writing this. When you read the Bible, you got to understand this kind of stuff. It makes it make more sense. So Solomon is writing these Proverbs to us. But where did Solomon get this wisdom? From God, but from God through his father. So the whole Bible is a book about a father and a son. The whole Bible is a book about a father and a son, and how God the Father sent God the Son to come to us orphans and adopt us back into the family of God. So every amount of wisdom that we get, Proverbs is an amazing book, especially for teenagers to read, because it is literally the talks of a father to a son, and then a son becoming a father, passing that wisdom on to the next generation. And so now that you're a son of God, you have a right as a son to inherit this. You're adopted in the family. So this is part of your lineage and your inheritance here. So the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding. And notice you'll see wisdom and understanding connected. It's connected in the lampstand, and it's connected all the way through. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding. Verse 3, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. And verse 5, a wise man will hear. Now, that's that word I've been teaching you, and that if you've been here any amount of time, you know the word Shema. That's the word Shema, which means hear, understand, and obey. And guys, what that means is I hear and I understand that it's God speaking, and I understand what God wants me to do. So I don't understand all about what he's saying, but I understand it's God speaking. I understand it clearly what God wants me to do. And then I take action on it in obedience. And once I obey it, that obedience unlocks a greater understanding of the subject, which gives me a greater appetite to go back and hear more. You will get more of what you already have. And so it's hearing, not just like hearing and I'll think about it before. No, it's hearing with a willingness and readiness to obey. Not because of what is being said, but because of who is saying it. Because he's Lord. He's Lord. So a wise man will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. Just do a 1-2 skip of you. Look, that's Proverbs 1. Look, go to Proverbs 2. Go to Proverbs 2 and look at verse 1 and 2. Proverbs 2, look at 1 and 2. And notice the language, my son. Every time I read that, I'm like, I'm in the family of God. It's like I'm adopted into this. So I'm reading words from my father, and I'm hearing as a son. My son, if you, circle if you, because that's two of the most important words in this, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline, which means lean, you incline and really give attention, you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Notice wisdom and understanding. And it goes on, yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for his hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. And notice how it goes into the last two things, knowledge of God and the fear of the Lord. These things are all connected through Scripture. Look at Proverbs 3. Man, Proverbs 3 is bad to the bone. If you've never had really good time in Proverbs 3, you have missed out. It is incredible. Proverbs chapter 3, let's skip over to verse 19. Proverbs 3, skip over to verse 19. The Lord by wisdom founded the earth, and by understanding he established the heavens. So the Lord operates through wisdom and understanding. It's a powerful scripture I'm not going to have time to unpack. Look at Proverbs 4 verse 5. Proverbs 4, skip over to verse 5. We're in Bible drill. We're doing good. Love hearing those pages turn. Proverbs 4, verse 5. Watch this. Look at this. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Get wisdom. You know what that means? That word get, when you look up that word get, it means to acquire. It means to acquire. So, JP, do you have your phone with you? So I would like to acquire your phone. You come up here just a little bit. So I'm going to use you as an analogy. Sit wherever you want. So JP has a phone. His phone is like fly. His phone is awesome, does all kinds of stuff. So I don't have his phone. He has a phone. And so his phone might be on the market. I don't know. How will I know if his phone's on the market to be sold? I got to ask. I got two options. Steal it, and it's on the market. He don't know it. Or ask. And so we're Christians. We're going to ask. And so I come and I want to acquire, but JP, would you give me your phone? That's the first price level I'm at. Would you give me your phone? So his first thing is, how much? You know why he's saying that? Because he knows what he has value. So that word get, actually in the definition of the word means to acquire and possess, especially for a price. How much money do we spend on foolish things? So the word of God is free. But the principle that the word is giving us here is when there's things that are of value, we need to come give money. So JP, I'll give you $100 for your phone. No? A little bit more. So, well, I got to see if it's worth it. What model is it? It's not the newest. Anybody have the newest? Because there's times that I've got to be like, I don't need that, okay? And so, JP, we're not doing this deal anymore. You can go sit down. So the reality is you got to acquire it. And so there's people in your life and things in your life with yourself, with your family, with your business, with things that you've got to acquire wisdom. And you always and only want to acquire wisdom from somebody who's walking in that level of wisdom. You want to see the fruit of that wisdom in their life. You don't want to be mentored or discipled by somebody who walks in the foolishness that you walk in. You want to find somebody who's activated in a wisdom. And to walk in that, and so this word get actually means to acquire, especially with price. Now, when it comes to the word of God, it's free, even though there was a price paid for it for us to receive it. But the reality is, how hungry are you for wisdom? How hungry are you to find the wisdom of God that has been developed through obedience in other people's lives that you can say, would you teach me? Would you teach me not your wisdom, but the wisdom of God that you have applied to your life? Because I need some for me. I need to get wisdom. Everybody say, get wisdom. Let's keep reading. So get wisdom. Get understanding. I just love the power there. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Oh, Lord Jesus. Every one of these could be a sermon unto themselves. Do not forget. What causes you to forget the word of God? What causes you? What is the thing that has to happen that happens every single time like clockwork when you make a decision to start walking with God? What's the thing that happens in your life that makes you forget and forsake the word of God? Because if you can recognize and identify the thing that keeps happening that makes you forsake and forget the word of God and then whoop that thing, then you come back. You're going to go to another level. You're going to go to another level. Amen? So, verse 6. Do not forsake her, and she will preserve you. Love her, and she will keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing. That word principal thing means the beginning thing, the first thing, the beginning thing. Spirit of the Lord, spirit of wisdom and understanding. Wisdom is the principal thing, the beginning thing, and the foremost or foundational thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And all you're getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she will promote you. She will bring you honor when you embrace her. She will place on your head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory, and a crown of glory she will deliver to you. Hear my son, again, Shema, my son, and receive my sayings. And watch this. Look at the benefit. And the years of your life will be many. And I have taught you in the way. I have so many circles and underlines. I didn't know if that was taught or laugh, but I know it's taught. I can't see the T at all. So I have taught you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in the right path. So when you walk, your steps will not be hindered. And when you run, you will not stumble. This is wisdom and understanding. I love it. I'm going to go here. Look at Proverbs 5. I just see this over here, Proverbs 5. Verse 1, my son, pay attention to my wisdom. Lend your ear to my understanding that you may preserve discretion, and your lips also may keep knowledge. For the lips of an immoral woman drip honey, and her mouth is smoother than oil, but in the end she is as bitter as wormwood, a sharp two-edged sword. And the rest of that chapter you can read on your own. He's basically saying, and I think there's a scripture says it in here real plain. Look in 6, Proverbs 6, verse 32, and we'll just leave this one alone. But I give you a scripture you can, all that whole chapter you can read on your own. Look at verse 32, Proverbs 6, 32. Whoever commits adultery with a woman lacks understanding. We need wisdom, we need understanding. We need wisdom, we need understanding. Let's go to the New Testament for a minute. Look in 1 Peter chapter 2, 1 Peter. This is Bible drill. See how fast you can get there. 1 Peter chapter 2. I don't know about y'all, I love that sound. I love that sound. Y'all sound like you're Christians anyways. You sound like you're full of faith. I love it. I want to challenge you to bring your word, bring the Bible to church, and we'll break bread together and get in the word. All right, 1 Peter 2, y'all know the scripture, verse 9. But, look at verse 9. But you, he's talking about people who are stumbling and that the word of God and Christ is a stumbling block to them and their disobedience. But then he says, verse 9, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Let's just keep, look, I'm just going to keep reading. Bible's never failed me once. Verse 10, who once were not a people, but now, everybody say now, we are the people of God. Who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Look at what he's saying here. Keep reading. Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the world, the Gentiles, the un-Jewish, the non-Jewish people, that when they speak against you as evildoers, that that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works which they observe, glorify God in the day of the visitation. Therefore, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme or to the governors, as to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free, yet not using liberty as a cloak for vice, but as bondservants of God, honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, and honor the king. Oh, I feel like some Ephesians rolling up in here. Get some Ephesians 5. Look at Ephesians 5. We got to get in the word this morning. Ephesians 5. Oh, man, I hope you get a paper cut. Be like, what happened, man? I got serious in church today. Turning all these pages, I got a paper cut. Ephesians 5, verse 8. I read this last week. We're going to read the rest of it. For you, verse 8. For you were once darkness, but now you are the light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. That's a huge, underline that sentence. That means study your Bible to find out what's acceptable to the Lord. That means you and I have a responsibility to not just guess or ask Pookie and them, but we got to read the Bible to find out what is acceptable to the Lord. Find out what His will is. Verse 11, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all these things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See then that you, not everybody else, you walk carefully, circumspectfully, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand. Notice the wisdom and understanding. Understand what the will of the Lord is, and do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, which that what that means is it's simply a waste of time. That when you are doing that activity, you are only wasting the time that God has given you. That's all you're doing. You are numbing yourself from your pain, but you're numbing yourself from your purpose too. And you're wasting time. But be filled with the Holy Spirit. So what he's saying is you don't have to go do what the world does to deal with their pain. You can step over to this side and do what I do. So every time you feel I want to be drunk with wine, and that's my go-to, no, I'm going to be filled with the Spirit of God. So that even though there is pain, I still accomplish the purpose that God has for me. And there's so many other scriptures that, like, I could take you to, since we're in Ephesians, just look over Ephesians chapter 1. Most of y'all know this one. Ephesians 1, 17. And worship team, y'all can go ahead and come on up. Ephesians 1, 17. We'll start in verse, let's start in verse 15. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and the riches of his glory and the inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his might and power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him. Everybody say seated him. At the right hand of the heavenly places, far above. So he's seated far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, in the fullness of him who fits all in all. I can't help it, guys. Look at this. Skip down. Chapter 2 is amazing. Skip down in chapter 2 and look in verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love, which he has loved us, even when we were dead in our sins or trespasses, made us alive together with who? Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us. That's past tense, not future tense. It's not will raise us up. Has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So this thing about the lampstand and the light of God and the authority of God and wisdom and understanding of the Lord Jesus Christ, that God, he wants our eyes to, Paul is praying our eyes to be open for our, there be a spirit of enlightenment, not to see the inner self and try to find your inner light, because you ain't gonna find nothing there but deception. But when you look to Christ in you, when you put your faith in him, then who he is who you are. Where he is where you are. Where you are is where he is. And it's a twofold relationship. So what he's saying is Christ was after his crucifixion and resurrection, he was seated in the heavenly places. He was seated in the heavenly places. And under his feet is every other dominion and authority and power there is. Up, Democrat. Up, Republican. Look at that, how this works. Under his feet. Every nation that has ever existed, under his feet. He's sitting on a throne at the right hand of the Father, which is the place of the oldest son. And what your Bible says and what we need light and revelation on is not only does he sit there, but he has come and brought us to be seated with him in heavenly places. So we are seated at his right hand. We're seated with him now. So what you're walking through in the earth, always remember what pain or problem you're walking through in the earth, you're also seated in the heavenly places in Christ. So from this perspective, deal with this problem. So what happens is you take this and please, Lord, let these candles not fall. So from this perspective of the light of God, whoo, that wax is hot. Right on my hand. I get to come be the light of the Lord in the earth. I don't need to leave it here and try to go work and try to figure it out and I need to bring what's there here. Because what it will do is remind me of who I am. Remind me that God's still at work. Instead of leaving this here, and I'll get that when I die and go to heaven. No, Jesus brought it near. The kingdom of heaven is at hand, within my reach. So, Lord Jesus, you are Lord of my life. You are Lord of my life. Give me wisdom and understanding about your lordship and your lordship in my life. Give me the authority over the things that are trying to take authority over me. I want to live my life for your glory. Let your light shine through my life. So what I want to do today as we go into worship is I want you to do whatever it is that you need to do. If you're here this morning and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, just because you're in church doesn't make you a Christian. Just like when I go to a bank, it doesn't make me rich. The reality is, if you do not have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, if you've not believed in your heart and confessed with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and that God raised him from the dead, then you're not saved. And salvation is the adoption into the family of God. And it's a relationship. It's a relationship with a person. The person happens to be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he died on a cross. He died your death so that you could live his life. He died for you. And he wants to live his life in and through you. And if you've never given your life to Jesus in just a few minutes, matter of fact, any prayer team members, go ahead and come up front. We have some prayer leaders up here that would love to pray with you. And if you've never given your life to Christ, and you know today is a day that for you to stop running and for you to stop playing and for you to come and surrender yourself and say, I want to follow Jesus, then you come to one of these people and just tell them, I want to give my life to Jesus. If you've been walking with Jesus for a number of years, But you've been walking in darkness and not walking in the light, and you sense God activating something in you. You sense that, man, it's time to come back home. It's time to, I sense it. Then you need to honor what God is doing in you and affirm it. Don't have this attitude, oh, I'll do it later, or I'll make a verbal commitment, or whatever. I'll do that later, because you won't do it later. You come to one of these people. Now, you can do it privately. Just come to the altar by yourself if you want to. But I found that when you confess things to other people and be like, look, I'm coming back to the Lord today. I'm tired of playing. I'm tired of hiding. I'm tired of faking it. I'm coming back to the Lord to say, Lord, you're first in my life again. Then you come and tell them, not let them pray over you. Or do you come to the altar? Or if you are just at a place where you're just so thankful. That's the other thing you need to affirm. If God is working in you and you're thankful, that's another thing to come and affirm and say, God, I acknowledge what you're doing in my life. That it's not me, it's you. And I acknowledge that. Maybe you have family members, whatever. Pray and have this heart to open up as we worship the Lord. Have a heart to just open up to say, Lord, let your wisdom and your understanding just increase in my life. Let your wisdom and your understanding increase in my life. Show me the things I need to stop doing. Show me the things I need to start doing. Show me the things I need to stop saying. Show me the things I need to start saying. And let the Lord just move in your life. And just receive it. Just receive it. So as we worship during this first song, I want you to come. If you need prayer for any of those reasons or any other reason, if there's sickness in your body or dryness in your soul, if you need just a victory in your life, come receive prayer. Come to the altar and let's worship the Lord. Father, in Jesus' name, we come to lift our voice before you, God. We come to honor you and praise you. We come to worship your holy name. You are Lord. You are God, and there is no one like you. So your people come to sit before your throne and to worship you, God, to bless you, to honor you, to love you. And Holy Spirit, we ask you to bring wisdom and understanding to your people in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks again for listening to the Faith Center podcast. To connect with us, go to faithcenter.tv and fill out our connection card. We pray blessings over you and your family. We'll see you next time.